Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. So glad you're listening today. Thank you for doing that. I'm Bill Arnold, sitting in for Susie Larson. And I'm actually very excited to be joining with you today for Live the Promise. We had Kristen Ditchfield on. She joined us in the first hour. She talked about letting go of the past and walking in freedom. She has written 65 books. I mean, talk about an overachiever. Oh my goodness. And if you missed that hour, you can find that podcast online at myfaithradio.com. And now we're going to talk about how God can heal us spiritually, emotionally, in the context of significant relationships. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my guest, and I'm going to bring him on the show. He's in studio. Todd Mullican is the owner of Mullican Counseling Center in Edina. He has over 30 years of experience in the mental health field. So he's got his work cut out for him today across the studio from me. He works with individuals, couples, and families. His books include The State of Affairs, All the Best for Couples, and All the Best for Parents. Todd's a regular speaker, is a lecturer on a variety of mental health topics. He's been married to his wife, Laura, for 26 years, and they have three daughters, Ashley, Alyssa, and Sarah Grace. So, Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Phil, for having me.
Yeah, well, so we always like to start the show with a little passage of Scripture that our guests choose, and you chose John chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. I'll read it. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I'll keep going, because I'm not done. "This is the one I have spoken about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me before he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Give us a little sermonette on that, Todd, because I did a terrible job of reading it. I mean, I should have rehearsed. Seriously, I want a do-over.
Fantastic.
Matt, do I get a do-over? I don't, do I?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, see, there you go. I should have practiced.
He's got truth down really good.
What I hear Susie say regularly on the show is this. When I listen to Susie, and I love her, and she'll say things like, "When I was doing my show prep..." You will never hear Bill Arnold say that.
Well, I have just seen, after 30 years of work, and even in my own life, my own family, just people I know, some of us are really good with telling the truth, being truth tellers.
Yeah. I bet you have.
Some of us are pretty good with dispensing grace. And I've just noticed how in our desire to become fully more like our Lord and yield to Him, it's wonderful to pursue both truth and grace.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that in the field quite a bit in my work with folks.
Yeah. Those are kind of the guardrails to safety, aren't they?
Yes.
On one side of the highway you need truth, and on one side you need grace. That way the car won't crash.
Very true.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we have tendencies towards one or the other.
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
nice to have acknowledgement.
It's hard to do
that.
Both.
It is. It's hard to do that.
I'll tell you the truth. You know, sometimes you hear... the brutal, can I be brutally honest? And sometimes I think you're more brutal than you're honest.
Right, because that's usually not the first time they've said that.
Of course.
Yeah.
And they're so mad by the time they say it that it just comes out sideways and there's no grace.
Right.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can offer all kinds of grace, but never tell the truth, and you got the same problem.
Well said.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Matt, make a note of that. I said something interesting. Okay. Todd, we're going to talk today about relationships, and you've got a couple of books. I mean, you haven't written as many as my previous guest. You're 62 short.
I'll work on that.
I'm not calling you kind of a unachiever, but maybe I'm thinking that.
Oh.
Okay. So you've got in one of your books, you talk about the 5 A's and the 5 P's.
Right.
Now, that's what I want to explore today, and I know that's going to take us probably through the hour, but I want to start with the 5 A's. Okay. And tell our listeners what all that is, and let's dissect that.
Sure. So for years in my practice, I was noticing certain things that women would come in and say that'd be helpful for their best to come out in their relationship with their guy. And I noticed guys saying five things that would be very important.
For them?
Yep.
Okay.
So over time, it kept working out that way, and mm-hmm. I've seen that even today in my practice, the same kind of gals work on these five A's for the guy, and guys work on these five P's for the gal.
Okay, now I'm very intrigued, very intrigued. So let's start with what you call the five A's, and these are things that the woman wants the man to pay attention
to? What the woman needs to do for the guy.
This is what the woman needs to do for the man.
Right.
Okay, go.
You want to start there?
Yes.
Okay. So
this is five A's.
Five A's.
Okay.
One of the things, the first two are kind of similar.
Okay.
But they have to do, the first one has to do with feeling accepted for who I am. Because a lot of times what I've noticed in marriage is that the woman tends to be frustrated with who their guy is and focuses on who he isn't versus who he is. So there's certainly unacceptables in marriage, of course, adultery, addiction, abuse, those things that are unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes what can happen, at least for the man, is he tends to feel like he's not measuring up, like he's always doing something wrong. He's kind of on the defense. And so it's interesting, as I talk to men, one of the things that helps them feel better about who they are in Christ and feel more encouraged in their marriage is when they feel more accepted for who they are versus who they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And Scripture backs that up. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another as Christ accepts us in order to bring praise to God. And the second one has to do with feeling affirmed for what he's done.
Affirmed for what he's done, okay.
Right, versus, you know, not being affirmed. It doesn't mean the woman always has to constantly affirm, but is the woman affirming what he is doing well, or is she tending to focus on just what he isn't doing?
Well, men are an emotional black hole for affirmation, aren't they?
True, true.
You can't get enough affirmation. Honey, come look what I did to this door handle here. I fixed it.
So it isn't a woman's job to fix the black hole, but it also isn't, you know, it is helpful.
Yeah.
You know, to help, having kind of God's eyes for her guy, you know. And, you know, I remember working with many different people who would come in and just say, you know, I feel like, you know, and it's not a blame dad session, but they're coming in and talking about how they just didn't receive affirmation much growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And as men, as you look back at the fog, what did God say to Adam? Hey, the dust you are, the dust you shall return. You'll be toiling after selfish gain your whole life, right? And so I think as guys, we still do that. We still find too much of our identity is in what we do. And so we struggle with that versus our identity being in Christ and just feeling accepted, loved, and approved. And let's go. Let's go out and play in the sandbox.
Who can do that, though? I mean, seriously.
Hard.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
Hard, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so
we
anyway,
live in a performance-oriented world.
Oh,
what am I doing well? And are people recognizing it and paying attention?
Right. So, of course, narcissism is different. Narcissism has an excessive need to be admired. So we're not talking about enabling a narcissist here. We're talking about, you know, a loving guy who just likes to hear, you know, from time to time what he is doing well, because mm-hmm. he's usually hard enough on himself.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that's one of the top five that men need is
yes.
to hear the words of affirmation?
Right, as well as feeling accepted for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the first two. And those are pretty loud ones. They usually go to those two more than they do any others.
Okay. So that's acceptance, affirmation.
Yep.
And what's number three?
The third one is affection. So in general, men go from intimacy to emotions, and women go from emotions to intimacy. If you figure that out, give me a call.
Exactly.
But the dilemma there is most men like to, you know, they enjoy that touch. They enjoy that closeness, whether it's actual lovemaking or just being close and snuggling and having touch. And so the importance of the woman from time to time, you know, initiating affection or touch in most relationships, it's really important. The guy tends to feel closer to his wife through that time of snuggling, through that time of closeness. And, of course, that's a dilemma for the woman, because if she's not emotionally feeling close to him, why in the world would I want to mm-hmm. pursue touch? So
mm-hmm.
we'll get to what the guy needs to work on in a little bit.
Okay.
So this is not a one-way street, obviously.
That's very difficult, Todd.
But affection is important. So I think it's important for the woman just to know, to not take that personally, that the guy is only interested in intimacy and closeness and touch. It's just that that's a little bit of how we're wired. We're, you know, we're We appreciate that. We appreciate that touch, that closeness, that intimacy in marriage, that lovemaking.
And is some of the touch that you just talked about, is that connected to affirmation as well?
It could be. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Doesn't that say in a way that their man is feeling affirmed because, look, she's drawn to me. She's showing me affection. That makes me feel affirmed.
Well said.
Well, Matt, make it.
That's two of those today.
That's two.
I'm affirming you, Bill.
Yeah, thank you so much.
For who you are.
Bill,
yeah.
Two, Todd, zero. I'm just keeping track over here. No big deal. All right. Now we're going to go to number four.
Number four is delicate.
Okay.
Even more delicate than the first three.
Okay, we've only got about 30 seconds, so we're probably going to just introduce it, and then we'll take a break, and then when we come back.
It has to do with attractiveness.
Attractiveness. This is now what a woman has to do for a man.
In order for a healthy male enjoys it when his wife herself feels attractive emotionally, spiritually, physically.
Okay.
When she exudes that attractiveness herself.
That's good for the man.
Yep.
That's a tough one then, isn't it?
It is.
Ooh, we're going to talk about that when we come back on the other side of the break. We're going to take a little break here. You're listening to Live the Promise today. Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie Larson. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Full of people, the weary and the poor, waiting for the day when they will hurt no more. Though this world is full of suffering, these promises are true. We hold on to the hope that the day is coming soon. So amen.
Welcome back to Live the Promise. Thanks for joining us today. Bill Arnold is sitting in for Susie Larson, and we're talking today to Todd Mulliken. He's the owner of Mulliken Counseling in Edina, and after 30 years of experience of listening to people talk in his office, he has distilled down what a man wants and what a woman wants, and we're talking about that today. We are talking, first of all, what a man needs from a woman, and we are now moving on to the fourth of the five A's, and this one is about feeling attractive spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Correct.
And that's a big one.
It is.
Because, you know, some guys, you go, well, they're not going to find you attractive until you shave your ears.
Right.
You know, yeah. You got that thing growing out of your head.
And so here's what this isn't. This isn't about a woman having to look a certain way in order for the guy to be okay. Then we got a problem, in my opinion. Okay, we got a big problem.
True.
This is about the woman herself feeling attractive. And when she exudes that attractiveness, spiritually, emotionally, physically, when she exudes that, a healthy guy is really drawn to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I was most drawn to my bride in the 8th month of her pregnancy with our firstborn, Ashley. She just glowed. Does that make sense? She just glowed, and she felt amazing. She felt connected. And so I think a healthy guy, that's how he views his wife, is when she herself feels attractive.
Okay. So now we're down to a fifth of five.
Yeah. I was kind of scrambling because the editor said I needed to have five.
Okay.
So,
all right, good.
But one thing I've noticed that is a little bit different is this, I called it accountability. And what I've noticed in a lot of marriages, and my own sometimes for sure, where as a guy, I might just kind of wander. You know, I'm into my vocation. I'm certainly into my faith, but I'm wandering away from my wife and my kids.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, I'm home, but nobody's home. Does that make sense? I'm there, but I'm not really connecting with her. I'm not really, maybe I'm not choosing the right friendships, or I'm not seeing, hey, it'd be nice to hang out with this couple down the street who are really close in our faith, and we can pray for each other and kind of build a strong sense of community as we're ministering to other people in our neighborhood, et cetera. And I've noticed that women overall just seem really good at that. They're relationally wired, and they get that piece.
They're connectors.
They get that. And so I think it's helpful when the woman kind of, you know, takes that on and does some guiding. You know, I remember even in a Bible study I was in way back in the day in our old church, and we had some people that, you know, where the woman was a believer and the guy wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman kept going. She kept going to the Bible study. She kept going to the Bible study. And the guy eventually came, and he realized the other ones of us were loving people who love God, and we accepted him. And And that eventually made him come around and accept Christ. And a lot of it had to do with really her initiative. Does that make sense?
So total sense.
When the woman is kind of, you know, offering that in the marriage, I think that's a really helpful thing for the fella, because sometimes left to our own devices, we're home, but nobody's home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we've gone through the five. Let's recap real quickly, because
sure.
I think it's good to, if the listeners just joined us, I know they're dying to find out what the other four are. So the first one is accepted. You need to feel accepted. A man needs to feel accepted by
his wife for who he is versus who he isn't.
It's who he is versus who he isn't. He needs to feel affirmed.
For what he does.
For what he does. And what's the third one again?
Is to feel like the woman is providing affection.
Affection.
Because, he's affectionate.
Yes.
Because guys enjoy physical closeness. Doesn't mean it's always about sex, but it's about physical closeness and intimacy and touch. And sure, sometimes lovemaking as well, but it's more about the closeness. And as a woman, it doesn't feel, it shouldn't be from obligation, duty, or guilt, but more of a sense, from a sense of, hey, I know this is important for him. And just as we'll be talking about the guys, what he needs to work on them in a little bit here.
Yeah.
But it might
if we have time. Time permitting.
If we get to that.
Time permitting, we'll talk about that.
Exactly. But it is important that the woman understands that that is just naturally the way the guy's wired. It doesn't mean, because one of the dilemmas happens is that the woman feels like he's just being nice so they can make love later on that night or something. So there's this versus this understanding, naturally the man enjoys physical closeness.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the red flag that goes up is maybe the woman doesn't feel warm or cuddly towards the guy on the couch, so I'm not inclined to go sit by him and put my arm around him. And
why would I do that?
Why would I do that?
Right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of problems there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
It's hard to do what you don't feel like doing.
Big time.
Yeah.
That's why it takes two.
Right.
It takes both people. The guy needs to work on the P's.
And we're getting to that, time permitting. Time permitting, we'll get to that. So after affection is what again? The next one?
Feeling attractive. Does
attractive?
The woman herself feel attractive? Mm-hmm. Emotionally, spiritually, physically.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the last one we just talked about was accountability.
Yeah, is the woman, you know, having a place, is she, you know, I'm not saying holding the guy accountable, but is she just aware of the importance of accountability in the family and how we do life well?
Mm-hmm. All right. If you're listening today and this is ringing true with you and you've got a question for Todd, I mean, why not get a little bit of free counseling, huh? I think that's certainly a good idea. You can give us a call at 1-877-933-2484. The studio lines are open and we'll take calls as we move into the five P's. And the five P's are what?
Okay, the first one's probably the most important.
Well, let's set the stage, though.
Yes.
Well, tell me what the five P's are designed.
Sorry.
So who's doing what for who right now?
So the five P's are typically the things that the woman needs most from the guy.
Okay, this is what
after
the woman...
years and years of the woman coming in saying, gal, you know, because the books talk about how do we bring out the best of each other in Christ in our home.
Okay.
Yeah, we're pretty good at bringing out the worst in each other. You know, we know that. We got that down.
Okay.
So how do we bring out the best in each other? What are some things we can do from a place of confidence and grace towards each other?
Okay.
And women are usually pretty consistent in, you know, in my years of doing this of what's important for them.
Okay, so this is what the woman needs from the man.
Correct.
Okay, Matt, do we have time for this? Okay, I guess we do. All right, let's start with what's the first one?
The first one is to pursue his wife emotionally and spiritually. Well, what does that mean? Well, a lot of times, like I mentioned earlier, the guy's on the defense because the woman is frustrated. And the reason a woman is frustrated is usually the guy, after he gets married, you know, stops pursuing. He stops initiating. He stops planning. He stops creating. He stops even sometimes thinking about her. So, and the woman's saying, who changed the rules? So when the guy's on the offense, pursuing his wife, doing kind gestures, thinking about her just from his own place of love, when he offers those gifts of connection and just, hey, how are you doing? Or you look great today. Or the sense that he is on the offense. He's pursuing her. He's even saying, hey, can we do a devotion tonight? Or, you know, what'd you think about John's sermon on Sunday? Or, you know, just offering some type of spiritual initiative or connection.
Mm-hmm.
Is the guy on the offense or is he just on the defense saying, okay, what did I do wrong now? Or what am I supposed to do? So when the guy's on the offense, it's a beautiful dance because the woman feels noticed.
Mm-hmm.
The woman feels thought about. She feels like, you know, this is neat. This is
she feels cherished, doesn't she? She
absolutely.
Loves that word.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it takes me 5 minutes to get ready in the morning. How long does it take a typical gal?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They want to be noticed. Well, you know, and
you're spending way too much time in front of the mirror, Todd. You're spending 5 minutes.
I know. I try. Yeah. I'm cutting back on that.
You are so narcissistic.
Is he on the pursuit? Is he initiating? Is he creating? Is he planning? Is he saying, hey, this is what I'd love to do with you this weekend? Or, you know, what have you thought about? Let's try this. Let's have a getaway in 3 months and do this. You know, otherwise he just kind of stops.
Okay, what are the guys doing in the counseling office when you suggest this? Are they kind of rolling their eyes in their head like, oh, no, more work? Yeah, they're exhausted,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they're tired.
Yeah, yeah.
But the hidden jewel, in my opinion, is that when they do it, it's just a win-win. And they'll say that every time afterwards.
True.
You know, that's usually what makes her blossom. She feels thought about. Mm. She feels connected with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then all of a sudden, guess what we got? We got the 5A's rocking and rolling. You know, and
yeah,
they're coming.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the beautiful part about it.
Yeah.
But as guys, we gotta do our part. We gotta be on the offense and initiate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first P is pursue.
Pursue. That's a big one.
Yes.
I bet it is.
Second one is being a good planner.
Oh,
so
planner.
What I have couples do, at least for a while, is sit on every Sunday night for 5 or 10 minutes and just look at their week.
Mm-hmm.
And do they have a chance? Do they got a date on the book? Does the guy know his next date versus his next tee time? Nothing mm-hmm. wrong with golf. Nothing wrong with hunting. And all those things are good. But does he know when his next date is? Does he know when his next getaway is with his wife?
Mm-hmm.
So is he helping with the plan of the week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just doesn't mean they have to spend hours on it, Bill. It just means that she senses that he's in on that plan.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be with her.
Yeah.
He wants to spend
he's
time
He's making
with
it
her.
A priority.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's a way to merge that. Even if the guy's kind of, hey, what day is it? You know, and he's just trying to get through life like most of us guys are.
Mm-hmm.
He's it helps him show up that 5 or 10 minutes and be all in, and so that we can date. Because when we date, we want to look good, smell good, feel good. We're at our best for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how God created us to pursue each other that way in our marriage. So we want to be at our best there. And so being a good planner is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Women like that.
When does the suspicion start to go away? Because if you show up on Sunday and say, gee, let's plan the week, and she goes, you're just doing this because we were told we had to.
Like, oh. Yeah, that happens initially, but so the idea here is this an incident or is this a new pattern?
Okay.
Right? So ideally, this can become a pattern.
Okay.
So the goal of counseling really is these new things are more the norm. And
mm-hmm.
it's perfect, you know, but we've developed a new norm in our home where we're honoring God, you
perfect.
Know, through how we're treating each other.
Perfect. So pursue and then be a planner.
Correct.
All right. Number three is what?
Being a good parent. So when there's kids involved, you know, the couple chooses to have kids, it's something that's powerful if the male is that gentle, nurturing guy in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Is he that or is he the harsh kind of, you know, driver that's really hurting, you know, the home?
Right.
When he's that gentle, even keel guy, that's huge.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We were talking to Todd Mullican, and if you have a question for Todd, give us a call at 1-877-933-2484. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold today sitting in for Susie Larson. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in today for Susie Larson. And if you're listening to the show today, you probably have a piece of paper in front of you and pen in hand because we have Todd Mullican in studio today. He's the owner of Mullican Counseling. And we're talking about the five things women need and the five things men need to have a much better relationship. And right now we're on what we call the five P's. And Todd, remind our listeners of what that is, what the purpose is. These are things that men need to do for women. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, good. The first one was pursue. The second one was to plan. And when we went, just before we went to break, it was about being a gentle, loving parent. And that speaks volumes to a woman's heart and soul, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Versus kind of being harsh and overly shaming and, you know, dictatorial. And
yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean he's wishy-washy or passive. But again, it's full of truth, full of grace. So when the guy provides that gentleness in the home, it's powerful.
Okay. Let's go to number, You know, Todd, I'm going to take a call right now because
sure.
we have one on the line. And why don't we put your headset on. We have Andrew on the line. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Thanks I can't hear anything.
Okay. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question. I'm not really sure how to answer it. I'm a military guy, so that whole parenting thing, I've been a little bit more military in my parenting, and I've realized that, and I do see that as a big thing that my wife is always trying to work with me on. You know, with all the deployments and everything, we've kind of missed out on a lot of knowing each other. We've been going through counseling, and we've recently kind of found out what our love language is, which I'm big on affirming and stuff. And the thing is, I don't really know how to answer this question or ask this question, but it seems right now we're aware of these things, but I feel like I'm going above and beyond trying to meet her needs, and yet she thinks she's meeting my needs, but I feel like she's missing the mark on what I'm telling her. And I was just wondering how a person maybe without looking selfish or coming off selfish or being demanding or expecting too much, how do I do that in a way that she maybe has a light that goes on?
That's a really good question, and thanks for calling in. Are you guys still doing the counseling?
Yes, we're currently going through marriage counseling right now.
Great, because I think that's a great venue to kind of to bring that up in a real safe way and just acknowledging it from a place of humility. Hey, I love you. I'm in this. I'm for us. I'm doing these things because I desire to. It feels, you know, when you're doing these things, it's not quite hitting the mark, but I care about you. I love you. So here's a couple things that would be helpful. I think if you do it with grace, that'll help over time. It may not be received initially okay, but I think especially I would probably initiate that in the counselor's office first. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then in terms of your parenting stuff, it's so great you're on the ball with kind of the militant piece and, you know, and just trying to be more of that nurturing guy in the home where you're, you know, listening to the kids. How old are your kids?
Well, I have 1 9-year-old boy.
Got it. So, and typically we're harder on our own gender, so there might be a little bit of that dynamic where typically fathers are harder on sons, easier on daughters. Typically mothers are easier on sons, harder on daughters. So
right. There
might be a little bit of that dynamic going on. Does that make sense? So,
so
you probably want to work on what I call a 5-to-1 and think of the love languages. What are the love languages of my son? And be modeling that for him, giving him 5 affirmations for every correction you give him. And I would start with that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
Yep, you bet. Okay, Todd, let's get back to the P's. We go pursue, plan, parent. What's next?
Fourth is for the woman to feel protected. And in my books, I talk about controllers and pleasers. In most marriages, there's one of each. Typically, the truth teller is more controlling, and the grace-based person is more pleasing. Now, sometimes you have two controllers together, and then it's pretty chaotic
mm-hmm.
and love-hate stuff pretty
sure.
quick. And sometimes you have two pleasers together, but they never make a call to go to counseling because they can't make a decision. so usually you have one of each.
Yeah.
And so in terms of protection, if the woman is passive and the guy's controlling, she wants protection from his anger. If the woman is the controller and the guy's the pleaser, she wants protection, ready for this,
mm-hmm.
from his mother,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because a lot of times nice guys have a dominant mom, and the guy is kind of choosing his mom over his wife, and that's a problem.
Okay. We have another caller from Cottage Grove who chooses to remain anonymous. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I was going to tell you, I was brought up in a very loving home, and my dad was very, very kind and loving and just really something. And then, you know, then when I got married, my husband was a total opposite, very kind of demanding, and we've been married for almost 40 years. But still, a woman just, you know, that caller you had before, the man that said he was kind of military or whatever, but it really shuts a woman down when they don't even know they're doing it. But when they speak, you know, they're just like the hair on the back of your head goes up, and and it shuts a woman down, like if the man's talking to her that way, plus the children. And it's hard to really overcome that because they don't see it.
That's really well said, and that's why I usually try to have the person that's more grace-based in the home have his or her voice and say, golly, when you speak to me like that, that it makes, you said it so well, where it does just makes the pleaser shut down. And so I think you said that beautifully, and that's why I really encourage pleaser types to try to have their voice and say how that feels. And the pleaser usually will tell me, well, I don't want to do that because then it's not going to go well and we're going to have a more of a fight, right? But to just have that honesty in there is helpful. But thanks for that. Those are great words.
Excellent. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Protection is the fourth one.
Yeah, and it keeps me in business over the holidays.
I bet it does.
With the in-law stuff.
Yeah. Who gets to go where, when, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the whole idea is so the mom who's more dominant has a nice son who's kind, and he's married, and his wife is frustrated because his mom is kind of being harsh to her even. And of course, the guys in my office going, well, it's not that bad, honey. I mean, you know, I love you. Jesus loves you. Everybody loves you. I know my mom isn't really that bad. And the woman's going, we're done with this idea. You know, so how does he protect her? Well, he protects her by, you know, challenging his mom in a loving way, not saying, oh, my therapist says over the last 30 years, blah, 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 but rather just, hey, in the moment, in love, say, hey, mom, when you said that was kind of harsh, and I'd ask you not to do that. If I ask a guy to do that,
yeah.
I mean, I may as well have a knife in the office and why don't you cut off your finger? I'm just kidding. But the idea there is it's really a big deal, though. The woman kind of feels protected because otherwise that nice guy ends up always deferring to his mom, who can be more dominant and meddling too much in their marriage. So I've seen that a lot. So the fourth P is protection.
Okay. And that gets us down to number five, which is what?
Present. The woman desires the guy to be present. As what I was saying earlier, is he home? You know, I'm home, but nobody's home.
There.
A friend of mine said it so well. He's a school official, and he took a job closer to his house, so he was able to have a shorter commute. And he said, I got home earlier, but I'm home, but I don't really feel like I'm home. I'm just doing more projects. I'm home more, but I'm doing more projects. I'm not connecting with my wife, and I finally realized that. And she loved the fact that he realized that. And just sitting down with her for a few minutes and trying to connect for a few minutes. So being present. So when the guy's home, is he present? Doesn't mean he's talking about his feelings for 5 hours or reading her poetry every night. It just means that he's connected. He's looking for her. He's on that pursuit, and he's connecting for a few minutes.
So what advice can you give guys who are connected to their cell phone or their iPad, and they can't electronically disconnect while they're home?
I know. Well, you know, it's easy to say, we'll just shut it off, of course. You know,
that's not going to work.
Exactly. So what I try to do is say, you know, have dates, you know, have a daily sharing for a few minutes where it is off. Okay? It doesn't mean it's always going to be off. I mean, nobody does that these days, you know. But is it, you know, for that time when we're connecting, it's off. Okay, and we even tell our kids, hey, mom and dad are spending some time together. So it's about it's not about what we can't do, it's about what are we doing. So
do you talk about, do you suggest to couples, this is going to feel awkward for a while?
Yeah.
Because you go, okay, now we're having our 5 minutes. You don't even want to do this, do you?
Right. Well, yeah, it's a little bit awkward at first, but it isn't that much because it is, again, it's like that earlier caller was saying in the counseling, are both people are in and they want it to get better, then, you know, their attitude's in the right place.
All right.
That helps.
All right. So this has been really interesting, Todd. We've talked about the five A's and the five P's, what women need and what men need to have a more functional relationship or a satisfying one. What happens when you ignore those? There's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
What starts to happen?
Well, I have found in general that the pleaser by halftime is very frustrated. Because usually the pleaser type, especially if it's a woman, is very frustrated and gets very lonely and is sometimes vulnerable to affairs. And it's the first book I wrote was on affairs and why they happen. I was seeing five basic reasons why people were having affairs. And one of them, of course, is the double life guy who cheated before he got married. He's cheating in marriage and it has nothing to do with his wife. Everything to do with his own addictive physiology. Usually his dad cheated, etc. But I found for the pleaser type, man or woman, if the P's and A's aren't being done, then by halftime, it doesn't mean they're going to have an affair. I'm just saying one of the ways that affairs give birth is when, you know, things in the home are not going well. The P's and A's aren't happening. And the pleaser finally does something that no would be nobody would expect that they would do, where they find comfort with somebody else. And next thing you know, they're very confused about their faith, about their home, about and infidelity sets in. And that's when it's really tough.
Okay, so they're finding acceptance or affirmation,
right,
or attractiveness from someone outside the home because they're not getting it there, or a woman is not being pursued emotionally or not having a man who's making plans in her life or being an active parent or being present. So she's starving,
right,
emotionally.
And usually the pleaser won't say anything about it. You know, they just go and they endure and they endure and they endure and they endure, and then they finally hit a wall. And at halftime, and something may change, something may not. And so one of the coping mechanisms that sadly does happen sometimes is affairs. And affair statistics are not good. You know, obviously God put in the Big Ten because it ruins everybody. You know, it makes you officially a narcissist because once you're in an affair, you're preoccupied with ideal love, which is one of the symptoms of narcissism. And the second thing that happens, it puts you on your own island because you really... You know, you, to justify what you're doing, you have to become almost a totally different person, reject your friends, reject your faith. So it's a really difficult process to unwind out of. And the statistics are that 65% of couples that go through an affair end up divorced. And of the 35% that stay together, only 25% have a great relationship. So we want to pay attention to the P's and A's. We want to pay attention to having God's eyes for each other to protect ourselves from that.
We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to have one more segment with Todd Mullican. If you have a question for us, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. We've got time for a question or two more. So glad you joined me today on Live the Promise. Bill Arnold sitting in for Susie. We'll be right back.
Pass on some hope. Tell a friend about Faith 90.7 and AM 900.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking to Todd Mullican today. Todd is the owner of Mullican Counseling in Edina, and with over 30 years of experience of listening to people talk, he has done some great work of distilling what men and women both need. We've talked about that throughout the hour. If you did not hear it, you definitely want to go to the webpage, myfaithradio.com, go to Live the Promise, and you can download the podcast and share it with friends. We're talking about the things that men and women need, and when those needs aren't met, there's lots of problems that can ensue as a result. And Todd, you were just mentioning about how people can sadly and tragically drift into disobedience from God's will and find themselves in an adulterous relationship, and so few make it. But the ones that do find their way back to restoration, how do they do it?
Right. Well, it is a smaller percentage, but if they get counseling and if they can see the value of that, it's huge. So what I have the person in the affair, I have him or her work on two things. The first, obviously, is having remorse for what they've done. And remorse, in a sense of repentance, is a huge lift for them. It's a huge step for them. But when they do it, it's very important. Because one of the dilemmas is when the pleaser has the affair finally 15, 20 years in, they've built up a lot of resentment because they didn't say what was on their mind the first year of marriage on a Tuesday when they felt controlled. So they're building up this little resentment account. Kind of builds and builds and builds, and they have an affair, and they feel like they found love for the first time. Whereas it's not the truth, you know, because the truth is they've stepped out, and it's against God's will, et cetera. So try to help them get into a place where eventually they have remorse for what they've done. And the second thing I have them do is then give their partner reassurance that the affair is actually over. Those are the two things they need to work on, two R's. Have remorse for what they've done and give reassurance that the affair is over. And for the person who's been cheated on, I work with them on two equally difficult topics. One is to choose to trust over time, because the alternative is worse. The alternative is to live in mistrust, and over time that's not going to work. And the second is choosing to forgive. And as Philip Yancey wrote years ago, and what's so amazing about Grace, that great book he wrote, he said the only thing harder than forgiveness is the alternative. And the alternative is living in that bitterness and that resentment. So when the adulterer has true remorse, and he or she is, you know, sees that that wasn't the answer, it sometimes can be an amazing, and because this is the truth too of what I've seen, is when couples do the work after the affair and really do the hard work where the pleaser learns how to have his or her voice, where they speak more truth, where they're more confident, more assertive, when the controller stops controlling with mood changes and manipulation, but starts to have more grace and have more empathy and say, honey, how do you see it? Or, you know, and stop the control, they both change. And that's when God does work generationally in their home. Because if they don't do that, then their kids are in somebody's office in 20 years. So the couples that do the deep work after the affair, which is more rare, usually people sadly get divorced because it's too hard. Because it every day feels like a year for the cheater's spouse. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They found out about the affair, and every day feels like a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, buckle up. This is going to be 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't have to. You can divorce him or her if that's your belief system, you know, about, you know, what Jesus talked about with infidelity, et cetera. I usually tell them to hang in there. And then the person who's in the affair really work with him or her on, you know, this is not the answer. Okay, it's not the answer. It's outside of God's will, and it's not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a symptom. Okay, it's not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So those are delicate topics, but when I get couples to work on that, it's as powerful as it gets when they make the mm-hmm. changes, because then their marriage is better than ever it was.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the impact friends have when they're speaking into the lives of the people in the couple in the adulterous situation.
Oh, it's huge.
I mean, that's got to have a huge impact. And then is it helpful, destructive?
Yeah.
I mean,
again,
what's the jury say?
Remember our first verse, truth and grace.
Right.
So we want to say, we want to be truthful. You know, I'm not okay with this happening. You know, or you know, I'm walking alongside the guy who's my best friend. Let's say he was in an affair, cheating on his wife. And, you know, I'm going to walk alongside him because Jesus still pursues me. God still pursues me with all my junk, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to walk alongside him and I'm going to speak truth. I want to say, you know, this is not the answer. I'm here for you. I love you. So it's truth and grace. It's not saying, yeah, you had a bad marriage. I can see why you're doing this. And whatever you do, I'll support you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more about speaking truth, but also having grace.
Mm-hmm.
And same for the person that you're working, you know, who a friend of yours who's being cheated on. You know, it's not about building resentment, building bitterness. It's more about just being there for them, being a good listener, encouraging them when it's appropriate to maybe hang in there. Have you sought help for this? You know, it's not about being their counselor. It's about being an amazing listener.
Like James
talked about.
So less is more when it comes to being a support in this time?
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get in the middle of it.
Right.
You know, don't give advice unless asked.
Right.
Okay. But when you are with the person, in my opinion, who, you know, is in the affair, in my opinion, you don't just shoot them down and then leave them. You know, I mean, I think you can speak some truth, but you want to walk alongside still in a way that, you know, is supportive, but yet offering strong accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And supportive, not of the affair, of course, but supportive of the fact that I'm still your friend, I'm still here with you, but you know that I'm not okay with what's going on. And you'd tell me the same thing if I was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that mix of truth and grace. It's very delicate, though. Perfect world, you're promoting the counseling that they're doing.
Right. So, Todd, why does it seem that people have trouble just being nice to each other?
In marriage itself?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we save our best for everybody else, so we come home with not much left.
So you get leftover person when they get home.
Yeah, we give each other leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in the homes I work with, I talk about a 5-to-1. It's one of my second of 5 tools I talk about with marriage. 5 affirmations for every conflict. Mm-hmm. A little bit, if you can't say something nice and be quiet. I mean, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so many homes just talk about things that are only wrong. We're pretty good at giving each other instruction about what's wrong with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're fabulous at that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus just, you know, the fruits of the spirit. Yeah, love must be sincere, so let's have that tough talk.
But if I'm trying to control you,
Don't
I want to tell you what you're doing wrong?
Absolutely.
And where you're failing?
Controllers, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And isn't that just the natural tendency for most people to try to have control?
Yeah, and the current book I'm working on is The Dance of Narcissism and Codependency in Family Systems, and a lot of times controlling people become narcissistic because they don't know they're doing anything wrong because their spouse isn't saying something back. And so when the pleaser says, please stop talking to me like that, that's not okay, we're going to have a conflict, but we're going to start having truth in the home, and the kids aren't going to pick one or the other style. Because when we just have control in the home and then an acquiescent person, then the kids that grow up in that home are going to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm. So I know it's helpful when people are vulnerable. How much sharing should go on? I mean, if you're in a couple's Bible study, let's say, and there's six couples that get together on Thursday night, how much should be shared with what's going on in their personal marriages? Is that helpful or is it hurtful? I remember doing a conference years ago with Dr. Larry Crabb, and he said, he goes, one night I was laying in my bed. I was 5 inches away from my wife physically and 5 miles away emotionally. Mm-hmm. And my wife said to me, do you think we're going to make it? No. They didn't have an affair.
Right.
It was just a struggling, you know, relationship. And he said, I don't know. And he said, I just got done writing a book called How to Have a Good Marriage.
Wow.
He goes, do you ever feel like a hypocrite? And I just thought, oh, that just draws me to him. It just makes him so real and vulnerable. And he said, 13 months later, we did lots of hard work and we got on the other side of it. And he goes, we ended up being more in love than we'd ever been before because we got over that obstacle and that hump. And it was like, oh, look what the breakthrough we had.
That's as good as it gets. But to your initial question about the Bible study stuff,
it
depends on the study. You know, is it a transformative group where we're really breaking things down in the support group? Or is it, you know, scripture-based and then some application? You know
right.
I mean? I think we have to be a little bit careful about that. Maybe say one other couple that you're really close to.
Okay. Because it can be a trap for gossip, can it?
It really can.
You know, hey, you need to pray for Todd.
Yeah.
And Laura, you know, it's like, well, that gives me a chance to gossip, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And the scriptures talk about that as just being like a morsel. We love the way that tastes.
Yeah. But, I mean, relationships are awfully interesting. They're something that we always want to be talking about, and everybody's got something to say, and everyone's got an opinion on something, don't they?
They sure do.
Yeah. Well, Todd, I can't say the hour's gone fast. It's actually dragged on. You know? But that's just me talking. You know, the first part was good, and you got into the five P's of what men are supposed to do, and then I got real bored.
You lost interest.
I lost interest.
You were writing notes, though. So
I did. I took notes because I wanted to have a point of reference. And I also know that there are listeners today that have been jarred by this hour because they went, oh, my goodness, I am not getting this, 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 and this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're feeling empty and a little bit lost right now and maybe reeling like I've got a weekend I'm looking at, and I've got all this stuff now that I want to talk about.
Mm.
And Mr. Tin Man isn't going to listen.
Right.
Or the other direction. So maybe you would pray for the couples out there that are all of a sudden faced with a lot of anxiety right now about what we've talked about.
Mm. Father God, thank you for this time and for how you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray for those couples that just need to have an honest conversation. Thank you that you say in your word that love must be sincere. So equip those couples that are listening to feel the safety and the confidence that you have, that they have through you, to speak truth in love with each other so that at the end of that conversation, they can realize that you're for them, you've accepted and improved and loved them for who they are. So give them the confidence to have those conversations through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Todd, it's been great talking to you today. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate you coming into the studio. It's great to see your smiling face here. I've been talking with Todd Mullican of Mullican Counseling Center. You've been listening to Live the Promise, and Bill Arnold is me. I've been filling in today for Susie Larson, which I always love doing. I hope Susie's having a great day of travel. I know she's on the road today. And if you want to tune in tomorrow for the weekend edition of Live the Promise, you'll hear Susie's conversation with Pastor Tommy Barnett about how to give God access to our schedules 30 minutes at a time. That's tomorrow on Live the Promise. Really glad you've joined the show today. I'm glad you listened. I hope you got a lot out of it. As Susie says, you know, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. That wraps up today. I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. God bless.